Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk, presented by Commuter Connections. Here is your host, JP Finley.
What up, everybody? Another episode of Redskins Talk Podcast right now. I am JP Finley. I am here with my number one dude, Rich Tandler. Tandler, what's up, man?
Hey, doing great.
Tandler is doing great. Before we get going, let's thank our good friends at Commuter Connections. A couple clicks is all it takes to share a ride to work when you want, where you want, for free. CommuterConnections.org, 800-745-RIDE, or you can get them on their app, Carpool Now. So check out Commuter Connections. Tandler, what's up, man? It was good to see you over the weekend at Redskins Rookie Camp. Give me one quick takeaway from Redskins Rookie Camp.
That you really can't take much away.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah, you know, it's good. You know, we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about it a little more, and that's a little bit of an exaggeration. But, you know, they're out there, you know, A, without pads on, you know, B, no contact, C, it's you know, about eight guys that are going to make the team playing with 40-plus who will never see a snap in the NFL or even in a training camp for that matter. So it just gets to be a, you know, you have to kind of judge it. And like I say, you can get a few takeaways, but it's hard to get too excited about, or on the other side of the coin, disappointed about anything that you might see there.
Yeah, I agree. Especially it's one thing when nobody's tackling anyway. Like, we'll see plenty of that when we get down to Richmond, but when it's nobody's tackling and the bulk of these guys are from colleges you never heard of, and truly, with all due respect, because these guys are out there working hard and clearly they're good and they've been very good at football in their careers to get an invite to a rookie camp, these guys are not NFL players. So, you know, I think much like at training camp, how folks get so excited by offensive skill positions, making plays kind of against air, the amount of excitement over a few different players, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, is just going to be unwarranted.
Yes.
All right.
But go ahead. That's what fans say. That's what we do. We talk about it. You know, we will go. So, but it should be taken with a large grain of salt.
Okay. I know you wrote about it. We kind of divided and conquered on Saturday when we were out there with Gruden and rookie camp. You know, I thought that, frankly, even though these guys were there working out, the biggest thing I heard when we were there was that Jay completely debunked the report that the Niners had offered a second, a third, and a fourth to move up to 17 in the draft. I found that really interesting. To me, it means the Skins were taking Jonathan Allen kind of no matter what. And you found... Who were the guys that stood out for you? I know you wrote about it. It was probably...
Well, wait. Let's back up a little bit. Right. You know, I don't know how, if that was debunked. I mean, Peter King, this wasn't from a source. He was in the 49ers draft room. You know, this is not something that he, you know...
So what are you saying then?
Somebody who told somebody.
Jay said the phone never rang and Bruce never mentioned it to him. So certainly it's possible that the call just went to Bruce and never got Jay never heard about it, but I find that hard to believe.
Well, they were taking outs. Like I said, if they, you know, I can just see a real quick swat down by Bruce saying, no, thanks, we're not interested, and it's over. And why mention it to Jay if it's Allen's call?
Yeah.
You know, he's got the final say on those things. But so we're
now what?
Why running around the room?
2-3 weeks removed from it, you don't think it would have come up just that the offer was there? Once the report was out there, you don't think it would have come up that the offer was there?
I don't know. Don't know. It just all I'm saying is I don't think Peter King made it up.
I don't think anybody made it up.
He was not suggesting that. No.
Well,
in a position to know.
Regardless, that was the most intriguing thing to come out of Redskins rookie minicamp, I think. Unless you find Jonathan Allen's hand placement against the tackling dummy intriguing.
Well, actually, it was against a lineman who was trying to block him. It was pretty interesting. He really got it. You know, you can't use contact, but that doesn't mean you can't smack some people around a little bit.
Well, and you get to see that burst, too. And I think that was impressive. And, you know, I think it was almost for us, I was watching Jim Tomsula as much as I was watching Jonathan Allen in a way, because Tomsula was in on every drill, whereas, you know, the guys are kind of rotating through. I think probably too much has been made of what Tomsula's potential impact could be on this defensive line, but you can tell he's a very vocal, very hands-on guy, and I got that impression in the hour we spent in the bubble with the team.
Yeah, well, I think Jonathan Allen being on the line will make Thomas Sewell seem like a very good coach.
Understood. We haven't talked about P. Ryan. P. Ryan was impressive. You know, Gruden kind of did, I don't know, I thought it was funny. When I asked Jay his impressions of P. Ryan, he just turned the question around on me and asked if I was impressed, and I said I was. Do you agree?
Yeah, and he was like, he rarely does that.
I know, and it's that wasn't like a gotcha question at all. I was like, Jay, what'd you think of Samaje Perine?
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, just Jay being Jay.
Yeah, no, he's a funny dude. I do still think, I imagine your social media mentions are as nuts as mine about this kid, that everybody's got him going for 1,000 yards as a rookie and nobody else is going to get a snap. I think the excitement over Samaje Perine might become a little unwarranted. I don't know. It's going to get a little out of control, I think.
Yeah, well, it's going to get. It already has.
Right.
Training camp And he gets some carries against more guys who will not play, you know, at least good enough to make a training camp, but not good enough to ever play in a regular season game. When he breaks a run against them, it'll get nuts all over again.
It will get nuts. All right, I'm going through my notes here. You and I have been doing this roster battle series, which has been a lot of fun and kind of pointing out where we expect there to be roster trouble. Not trouble so much as big-time competition and a squeeze for the number of spots. And, you know, some of the positions I think are fairly obvious. Left guard, free safety, or just the safety position. Inside linebacker, outside linebacker is going to have some battles for starting spots. I want to dive into the outside linebacker situation, but real quick, a word from our sponsors.
A couple clicks is all it takes to pay your bills, to share your thoughts, and now to share a ride. A couple clicks gives you more options to more places for free. Register to Rideshare today at commuterconnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. Try our new Carpool Now app too.
All right, at outside linebacker, it's fairly obvious that Ryan Kerrigan is going to man one of the spots. You can count on him for double-digit sacks. He's averaged that over the last three seasons. Kerrigan is durable. He's played, I believe he's played in every game of his NFL career. You can count on Ryan Kerrigan. The other side of the Redskins 3-4 is where things will get interesting. We know Trent Murphy's suspended first four games. We know that, or I think anyway, that you cannot count on Junior Gallette. I think any production you get from him is a bonus. It is not a certainty. So to me, that leaves Ryan Anderson, the rookie second-round pick out of Alabama, and Preston Smith, who will be in his third year out of Mississippi State. And Tandler, who do you think emerges as the starter of those two?
I think it'll be Smith initially. Gruden, a rookie in that situation, I think Smith, put it this way, I think Smith will be given the benefit of the doubt. And if he does, if he does kind of take that notch up, I think one of the, it's not the reason they drafted Anderson, but one of the side benefits of drafting Anderson is he's just a high energy, very intense kind of guy, whereas Preston Smith, extremely physically talented, but more of the laid back individual. And I think Gruden wants a lot of Anderson to rub off on Preston Smith. And if even some of it does, I think that they could be, I think that Smith should be the starter, but it doesn't really matter. I want to know who's going to be in there in the fourth quarter when they're up three trying to stop a drive.
But even to piggyback on that, more importantly, I think all of them should be in the fourth quarter when they're up three trying to stop a drive. I think the best defenses can come at you with waves of fresh defensive pressure off the edge without having to blitz. And so I understand that Murphy's going to lose four games, but when you get to November and December, when playoff bursts are won and lost, if the Skins can go five deep at the end, all guys that are capable of, let's call it eight sacks, and I'm going to lump Ryan Anderson into that category. Maybe that's a bit premature, but I think he can be an eight-sack guy. That's not eight sacks over 16 games is a half per game. It's nothing outrageous. I think this team will be much better off. I think Murphy, Kerrigan, Smith have done it. I think you can count on Anderson to do it. And Gallette is the wild card. If they can go five deep off the edge, this defense is going to be in a much better position this year than they were last year, when really all they could count on was Kerrigan, Smith, and Murphy. All those guys had more than 400 snaps in pass rush situations. Kerrigan almost had 500 snaps in pass rush situations. So if those numbers all come down a little bit and they're spread out over five guys, I think especially, Tandler, you and I have talked about this, I think so much of what the Redskins have done defensively is to try to address how awful they were on third downs last year. And I think having a lot of guys that can go get quarterbacks on third downs will help them a lot in that arena.
Yeah, no doubt. That's the best pass defense. Pass defense starts with pass rush.
Totally.
That is what the late, great Ken Beatrice used to always say. Is he still with us? I can't remember. I shouldn't say the late, great. So I'll just say the great Ken Beatrice always used to say on the radio.
Did you just pronounce a dude dead and then you're not sure if he's dead?
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure.
I'm Googling it right now.
Okay.
He died, assuming we believe Wikipedia. He died December 6, 2015 in Aldi, Virginia.
I thought I remembered that.
Where is Aldi? Is that down by Richmond?
And no, Aldi's near here.
Oh, okay.
Near Ashburn.
Shouts to Aldi.
Okay, so anyway, that's pass defense starts with pass rush. That's really what you're saying. It is one of those universal truths.
Sure, and I think corners can only cover so long, especially the way the rules are now, where an extra bump 17 yards down the field is an automatic first down. You're much better off getting to the quarterback than you are trying to stay in coverage.
Yeah, don't let him throw the ball.
All right.
Exactly.
Speaking of quarterbacks, I wanted to talk about Kirk Cousins. Kirk went on with Larry Michael and Redskins Nation. Larry did a good job of the interview. For all the grief some folks maybe give Larry, I think he does a good job of asking a guy like Kirk about the contract situation, all things considered. And Kirk does a great job of answering that question. And, if you're Cousins, you're sitting pretty, man. You're about to make $24 million, and the future is bright, whether that's in Washington or somewhere else. And he basically said that. But I think the quote that really stood out to me, Tandler, and I'm curious if you think the same, Cousins almost passed for 5,000 yards last year, which is damn impressive, and we can't take anything away from that. But a lot of those, not a lot of those yards, but some of the yardage to me was a little bit hollow in that it came in situations where the Skins weren't going to win or it didn't really help the team. The game I think back to is the Panthers game, that Monday night just dreadful game. I don't know if you remember, Tandler, I was super sick, and it took me like 2 hours to get there. I got stuck in awful traffic. I was a pretty miserable dude that night. Anyway, Cousins passed for, I think, 315 yards that game against the Panthers. But the Redskins' offense was pretty much ineffective the entire game. You know what I mean? So
they couldn't run the ball.
I
think they averaged like 1.9 a carry.
Wow. I mean, that's...
So, yeah. I mean, they had to throw. No, I agree. I mean, it was...
I mean, his yards per attempt
that
game... His yards per... So 315 yards is cool, man. That's great. It you know, going over 300 yards is always an accomplishment. But his yards per attempt in that game was, I think, 6.7. So you're not moving the ball in that capacity. And so this is why this quote to me from Kirk to Larry on Redskins Nation really stood out. Clearly, just putting up a bunch of yards isn't necessarily the catch-all. That doesn't just mean you win games. We certainly want to win our division and all those things and have great results at the end of the year. I read that as Kirk knowing his role needs to be bigger in 2017. Is that, you get the same takeaway as me, Taylor?
Well, you know, I don't know if that's something. I would agree. I think he needs.
Just so we're clear, you are agreeing with me on something.
Yes. Yes.
All right. I'm writing that down.
Okay. But he, you know, I think he means, you know, that they've got to come up with some game. You know, they got to pull some games out. You have to pull out that Giants game, Week 17. You have to pull out that Cowboys game on Thanksgiving Day there. You have to pull out that Cowboys game Week 2. You know, things like that. And it's the quarterback, you know, yes, Church, yes, it's the team effort, but it's the quarterback who has to do it.
Yep.
And that's the way of the NFL.
Week 2 and Week 17 are the real killers, I think. And, you know, maybe Detroit. I don't put Detroit on him. The Bengals, maybe. But that the Cowboys game on Thanksgiving, I mean, that defense was just getting gashed. And it felt like, you and I were both there, it felt like no matter how many points the Skins put up, the Cowboys were just going to score again. But Week 2, we talked about that pick he threw in the end zone basically all year and whether or not that hurt the red zone efforts. And then the pick against the Giants, I imagine, has haunted him all offseason. But regardless, I agree that I think he understands that this year needs to be about wins. If you look at this team, the last 2 years, they won the division in 2015. Last year, they were right there. I mean, they were right there and just couldn't get it done. And I don't know, not to be – I'm sure there are plenty of what's the chicken's name that says the sky is falling, Taylor?
Chicken Little.
Right. So I'm sure there are plenty of them saying that the Skins are going to fall apart. I don't see it. I think this is an 8-9-10 team, 10-win team. I don't know what you say.
Yeah, that's what I did something somewhere along the line. I write a lot of articles. I can't remember where I said it. You know, I have between 7. I think 7 is low. I think over 10 is high. So yeah, 8-9-10, something like that.
Yep. Another quote kind of to that point that I find pretty interesting, and you're right, you write a lot of articles, I write a lot of articles. There's a lot of content going up on csnmidatlantic.com that we really hope all our listeners are checking out. But this will be my last of the Cousins quotes. You can't win the division in May. It's about a process. It's about what we can do on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, here in the spring that gives us a chance to win in the fall. And then he continues, and Taylor, I'm going to, when I get done reading this, you tell me what you heard, because what I hear is interesting. That's what I'm excited about. I feel the stars of the team, the Josh Normans, the Terrell Pryors, are coming in and working hard, checking their egos at the door, and just showing up, being great teammates and great leaders. That's a great step. Taylor, what do you hear there?
I don't know. Not a whole lot, really. It just doesn't, you know, I mean, I think you win championships by going out and getting it done and in September. I think all this, all the personally, and that's not what he's saying, and I'm straying off a little here, but then I can hear what your grand meaning in that. But I mean, this offseason stuff is fine, but you know, everybody does it. All 31 other teams have their leaders coming in to work. It's what you do in September on the field that really matters.
Totally agree, but you don't hear that as, I don't want to say a shot, but commentary on the players that are there versus the players that have left, and I'm going to point to DeSean Jackson.
I don't know. I think that's a stretch.
Okay. I don't, but I don't, especially given the OTA stuff. You know what I mean? That to me, but I don't know. It just, for him to specifically point out those guys being there, checking their egos at the door, that's a great step. Sounds like he's saying something that didn't exist before, just the way it's framed.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. That doesn't jump out at me.
What do you know?
That doesn't really sound like Kirk.
What do you know? Tandler's throwing cold water on yet another idea.
Hey, you know, if you want to take that ball and run with it, be my guest. I'm gonna just set it down and walk away from it.
My running days are over, Tandler. My left ankle doesn't allow me to do anything anymore. All right, we have a bunch of Twitter questions we're going to take. We're going to do them right after this word from the good folks at Commuter Connections.
A couple clicks is all it takes to pay your bills, to share your thoughts, and now to share a ride. A couple clicks gives you more options to more places for free. Register to rideshare today at commuterconnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. Try our new Carpool Now app too.
Okay, Tandler, I like this Twitter question, and it's from Jack, the @irrefutableone. And I think you're going to enjoy this because a lot has been made about the Redskins signing Nico Marley, the grandson of legendary Bob Marley. And I think it's a cool story. But Jack wants to know, why did you sign a 5'8", 200-pound linebacker?
Good question. Maybe, I looked... somebody told me there was a Bob Sanders comp made by his father, by Nico's father. And
is his
Bob
father
was
Rohan that played in the league?
He didn't play. Did he play in the league? I thought he just played.
He played
at
Miami.
I don't know if he ever made it. He played at the U.
Okay.
We called the U.
Oh, sorry,
cool.
Taylor. I appreciate
us cool guys. We called the U. but Bob Sanders was the same height and weight. Of course, he was a safety, and I don't know. I mean, you know, if you think the guy can do something for you, you got 90 players on the roster, Jack. I'll just leave it at that. Why not? If you think there's a chance he can help you out, they brought him up for the tryout. They impressed him there. Let's see what happens.
I agree. It's May, man. There's no downside in signing a guy you think might be able to make plays in May, and you got to fill out. Ultimately, you kind of need bodies when you get to Richmond. It's a tough reality of the NFL, and maybe Nico shows them something as a special teamer, or maybe he shows them something. I mean, just the size, he seems like a dime linebacker or something. I mean, you can't play. You either have to have more weight or more height, one way or the other, I would say.
Or a lot of speed. I don't know if he's that fast.
A lot of speed. This is a good Tandler question because you are the guru of all things roster machination-wise. This is from @DiscoQ5. I don't know if you see him a lot in your Twitter feed, but he's a pretty sharp fan and always has good commentary. How many compensatory picks do you think the Redskins will get, if any, for losing Pierre and DeSean?
None. According to the guys, and I should have prefaced that, Disco, by I hope you're sitting down and ready for disappointment. But the guys that are over the cap, they have a guy who kind of knows this formula that the NFL uses. And the benefit to the on the, because it, they, thing is, it's a, the formula is a balance between who you lose and who you sign. So, yes, the Redskins lost Baker, Garcon, Jackson. couple of others, and they
Because they brought other guys in.
They brought other guys in: so McClain, McGee, Swearinger,
Pryor.
Yeah. So those guys cancel out. Now it also has to do with the size of the contracts. And I was thinking that Garcon,
he got a lot of dough.
Pretty good contract. Yeah. All three of them got, Baker didn't get a ton of money, but he got, they're all substantial. But apparently it's not going to be enough. If they do get something, it'll be, one of those seventh rounders that'll have us waiting around until 6:30 p.m. on Saturday to see who they pick. So sorry, Disco, but again, that could change. It's unofficial. We'll find out next March, I believe, is when they announce them. But as of right now, ain't happening.
This got me thinking, Chandler. Did you ever disco dance? Was disco ever a part of your life?
No, not really. Never went to an actual disco. I was more into oldies, more into 60s music than disco.
Well, when was disco? Was more 70s, like late 70s, I guess?
Yeah, disco was mid to late 70s.
All right, and at that point, you were just listening.
More late 70s.
And you were listening to, like, the Beatles?
I was listening to the Beach Boys, Beatles,
gotcha.
Et cetera.
All right, we're going to try something different here. We are going to do percentages. I'm going to ask you something, and you tell me the percentage you think it occurs. Ready?
Okay.
Kirk Cousins gets a new deal with the Redskins, a new multi-year deal with the Redskins before July 15th.
5.4%.
Wow. So you don't think it's happening?
No.
Okay. All right. That was
little chance. These things you always hear, as this deadline approaches, this July 15th, no deal. Oh, they're on the verge of a deal. So, that does happen, and I'll allow that 5.4% chance for that, but just doesn't look like it.
I don't think it looks like it, but I would say higher than that. I would give it a solid, 20% chance, just because the dialogue around it is so much different than it was last year. Maybe that's just all parties are being a little savvier this year. I don't know. But I think 20% still says overwhelmingly it's not happening. Okay, number two, percent chance Samaje Perine is the starting running back week one against the Philadelphia Eagles.
15%, 15.5.
Why do you keep going with these 0.5s? What's the point of that?
I don't know, because you're
all right.
You ask me. That's the way I do it.
Okay. I'm surprised you're that low.
I would not be surprised if Rob Kelly starts 16 games and Samaje Perine is the Redskins' leading rusher.
Okay. I think he's certainly going to be the leading touchdown getter on the ground. I'm sure there's a better term for that. But I think he will score the most. Here's my one thing that folks need to remember about Rob Kelly's strengths versus what we've really never seen Samaje Perine have to do. Robert Kelly is really, really, really good at escaping tackles in the backfield. That's basically why he got the job. Matt Jones eventually fumbled his job away, but Kelly was standing out because he could make guys miss behind the line of scrimmage. He was turning a 2-yard loss into a 1-yard gain, and that is very valuable for an offensive coordinator to be calling 2nd and 8 rather than 2nd and 12. Samaje Perine, at Oklahoma anyway, really never saw defenders in the backfield. Between the spread offense that they ran and the defenses you see in that Big 12 conference, it's very rare for a running back to be getting hit back there. And so until we can kind of see Perine make that chicken salad out of chicken feathers, to borrow a terrible old football coach cliche, I think people will sleep on Kelly's value to the Redskins.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like Kelly, and I think it's just a matter of finding a role for two of them. I do think it will be a running back by committee.
And Thompson will still be involved. Yep.
which Gruden does when he has the talent to do it. And I think he does with these guys. Plus, Chris Thompson is a kind of a subcommittee member. He won't get, you know, a full load of carries. He'll still get his, you know, average 5 to 7 carries a game and kind of round that out.
Agreed. And one thing that did stand out, I thought, was P. Ryan's ability to catch balls out of the backfield. That is not a strength of Robert Kelly's. Maybe he's improved over the offseason. But, all right, I got another one for you. Percentage chance Ryan Anderson is your starting outside linebacker September 10th against the Eagles.
37.8%.
Ooh, now that one's higher than I expected.
Now, see, I think the way it plays out is Anderson comes in and Smith takes to the competition and takes it seriously. And, you know, because if they're about even in training camp preseason, I think Smith gets the start. But I don't think it's guaranteed that they'll be even.
That's a very interesting one. We'll have to revisit that one. Maybe we'll revisit. Let's make a mental note to revisit that come like week two of the preseason and see where we are. Because the one name I would say, and it's, you know, I feel like I'm contradicting myself from what I said earlier. Should Junior Gallette get through preseason healthy? I almost think because of everything he's gone through in the two, you know, torn Achilles and being on the bench for 2 years, and the passion that guy exudes at all times, it seems, I almost think Jay would put him out there to start week one just as a show of good faith. I don't think he'd be a starter. I think if he is healthy, you keep him in a very situational role to maximize his usefulness. But I don't know. That's my little wild card for the starting OLB projections. All right.
Okay.
I'm going to change it up a bit here. Percentage chance you will buy a male romper.
Less than zero.
No romper for you, Tandler?
No.
Have you seen the romper craze taking over Twitter?
Yes, I saw it, and then I clicked on the Kickstarter, and I paid for it, and I wished I had.
Who do you think the first member of the Redskins media corps will be to wear a romper?
Master will be rolling into there. I'm rolling into week one of training camp with the damn romper on.
Oh boy! All right, this is going to be our last topic. You and I are going to play golf on Monday with local celebrity Mitch Tischler and actual celebrity Chick Hernandez. Percentage chance you break 100 playing golf at, where are we playing? Lansdowne?
No, Army Navy.
Okay, percentage chance you break.
I wish we were at Lansdowne.
Oh my! You are not allowed to complain about driving to Army Navy, dude. That's like a 15-minute drive for you.
No, it's not.
From
all the way down in Arlington, and rush hour.
If you say all the way down in Arlington from Ashburn to Arlington is going to drive the guy that has to drive Ashburn to Bethesda every damn day crazy.
Okay.
Crazy.
In any case, it's a scramble format, so there will not be
that's
individual
true.
Scores.
And that's a bummer.
Let's go with the percentage chance that more than the over under on my shots being used in the entire round is 2.5, and I'll take the under.
2.5 shots, or okay, wait,
2.5 of my balls will drop from.
I'll take the over if we're counting putts. Make a couple putts.
Yeah, okay. We'll see.
I don't know.
I haven't played in a long time.
I'm feeling positive for you, Tandler.
Okay.
All right. I will come up with one more. Real quick, though, I want to thank the good folks at Commuter Connections, as always. They're always there. A couple clicks is all it takes to share a ride to work when you want, where you want, for free. CommuterConnections.org, 800-745-RIDE, and Carpool Now is their app. I almost wonder if I can get Commuter Connections to pick me up and drive me to this golf tournament on Monday so I don't have to drive. You think
I was just thinking of that. I don't know. let's pull up the app and find out.
Yeah, we should. We might have to talk to the sales guys about that. But I think it's more for work. But I guess this is kind of a work event for us, isn't it?
Hey, I was invited on official company email. So, you know, that's it makes it work for me.
All right, we need to come up with some sort of wager that we can maybe do a Facebook Live or a Periscope video of you and I. Maybe if there's like a water hole, like a, because I'm not very good, man. I tell you what, I want to thank the good people at Avenel. I got to play in the Tiger Woods Media Day, the Quicken Loans National Media Day last week at Avenel. And Shawn Michaels is a big fan. I want to shout him out for sure, because he was a great dude. And he said, Taylor, I think this is very unofficial, but I think we're going to try for another podcast party in Richmond during training camp. And I'm thinking we try for August 5th, which is Fan Appreciation Day. What do you think about that, RT?
Well, any day we do a little podcast party, I'm there. So you let me know. I'll let you and marketing handle these things, and I just show up and smile and shake some hands.
Just make me do all the work, and then you just walk in like a celebrity, kissing babies and doing your thing.
You're finally figuring this out, aren't you?
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Well, I'm in the office in our luxurious podcast studio. And I'm saying that ironically, and you are at home chilling.
Yeah, I didn't have to get in the car.
Oh, but you'll complain about a ride to Arlington. All right, you and I have bickered long enough. One last thought from you, Rich Taylor.
I actually am, again, you know, OTAs are also without pads, et cetera, but I'm going to be interested to see where, you know, how some of these guys look, how they line up. And let me leave one more thing. I've heard Rob Kelly, the fat Rob, is gone. He is in great shape from what I've heard. Haven't seen him.
I've heard the same thing. I have not seen him. So that'll be fun to see him next week. I'm excited to speak to Terrell Pryor. I've met him briefly, kind of in passing. I also think DJ Swearinger could be really funny. There's some cool stories. I'd like to try to speak with Nico Marley at some point. Maybe Mario Norman as well. That's kind of a cool story. Will he be there? Do we know?
No, I don't think so.
All right, so he's done.
He wasn't signed.
Okay.
I mean, they do have the option to try him out further if they want, but he wasn't signed, so.
All right. Well, Taylor, we're all set here. Thank you for coming on, as always, and we will talk soon. To everybody that made it this far on the podcast, thank you very much, and I owe you a beer. Take care.
I owe you a beer.
There's the life you seek, and then there's the support you need to get there. At SECU, your goals are our goals. From daily banking and financial planning, we're a place where seekers always win. Visit secumd.org.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.